This episode of Butcher's Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. Go to patreon.com/butchersbreakaway now, where you can support Greg and I, listen to BSBOTs, join our Discord, and a bunch of other fun stuff. Today we have Tom from Straight from the Path on back on the show. He's been on before. We're going to ask him about, you know, starting to tour again, playing music, but we're mostly going to talk about the Rangers and a team that consistently pulls it out and seemingly is good. It's been such a weird ride. Like, is this team good or not? And the record says yes. So I guess we'll discuss that. Kapokako, 3 goals in 4 games. 4 points in 4 games. Pretty good. On that note, let's get to Mark Messier right now.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Bushwick Breakaway. Welcome to the other week of Bushwick Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead, of patreon.com/Bushwick Breakaway. You can support Greg and I. You knew that already. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Greg, say hello.
All right. I think the voice is working, so yep. I think we're good to go.
You sound
here.
In tune. I think we both had really rough weekends. I got the booster, and you went to the casino. Very similar experiences.
I did. Yeah, I too got the booster.
Oh, you did?
That kind of booster.
Oh,
no.
No, okay.
Different kind of booster. Wordplay, I believe.
Yes. A little bit of a podcast secret there. Very fun times. Let's get right into it, shall we? A lot has happened.
Yeah, Noah Syndergaard's an angel. Aaron Loop's an angel.
Yeah.
Is that what we're getting into?
Stroman's next for you, I'm sure. That would be very Metsian. Got the Angels GM. They all go to the Angels. Very fun. I mean.
Yeah. No, we'll save the Met talk for the end. All I'll say is never pay relievers. I had this opinion I had last year. It's an opinion I have this year.
I'm with
Just
you
Just find
on that.
The next Aaron Loop. It's Guys, think of it like Barclay Goodrow. Do you want to play Barclay Goodrow or you want to pay the guy who you think will be Barclay Goodrow? Pay the guy you think. Will be Barclay Goodrow.
Trident Hunt's better than Barclay Goodrow is right now.
Yeah! It remains super impressive that Chris Drury did the smart GM thing and the dumb GM thing all at the same time.
I don't want to start
this
podcast
really
off
remarkable.
As negative as I'm likely going to get. As you know, we are okay. A very negative New York Ranger podcast, as is tradition. But the Rangers, since last week, have had 3 what I would call impressive games / questionable games. They played 2 games where they won in sort of last-second fashion, where Brendan Gallagher sucker-punched the aforementioned Barclay Goodrow in the face. Then they beat the Buffalo Sabres with 0.4 seconds left at MSG, where afterwards, a nothing burger, but became the drama of the century, which was when Gallant was yelling at Mika Zibanejad. Let's just get that out of the way now. That's a nothing story, and Gallant wasn't waiting to go to the locker room to get it done. It seems like Mika was just complaining about the refs and not getting a call when he did like a jump deke in the middle of the ice instead of getting, as you know, coaches like to do this. Maybe you've read about this. The coaches like to get it deep, and that's not what Mika Zibanejad did. And seem to be complaining about the ref still. I think Gallant will lie to your face a lot in the media, but I don't think that was a lie. And I'm wondering if you think any different there, Gregory.
Was it a raccoon or was it a rat?
Yeah, very Metsian. I know.
Yeah. I'm excited for the story to come out in 6 months that Gallant actually was choking Mika on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. It's
it was very, in the moment, it was very interesting. I will say that. I know a lot of us were just too busy.
I was celebrating.
Ejaculating, I think, is the word we were looking for there.
Sure, yeah. Let's
but it was graphic. Very interesting in the moment that, like, it was almost like one of those fights. We've all had one of those fights with our friends where you get the result you wanted from a sporting event, but it was the exact way you weren't expecting or didn't want it. And you're excited, and you're like, yeah, they won, but they probably fucking shouldn't have. No. And then the guy next to you is like, just shut the fuck up and be happy.
Just be happy and enjoy this.
It sounded like Gallant was doing a whole big, just shut the fuck up and be happy to Mika.
Which is right, by the way.
Yeah, totally fair. It doesn't matter. Gallant's point was, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Shut the fuck up. We won. Like, move on. Forget about it.
This game's over. I'm already thinking about the Islander game. And he's right. I've grown on Gallant this past week. It's been one of the times where I've had positive emotions towards him. I think he did a lot of right things in the Sabres game. I was surprised he pulled Georgiev. I was surprised he put Hunt on the top line when Goodrow wasn't working. I have a lot of feelings about Barclay Goodrow. Almost none of them are positive. I feel almost bad about it because I think his best position on this team is on the fourth line, and paying one of your fourth liners a $3.6 million contract for 6 years, hashtag feels bad, man. So I think Gallant did a lot of the right things. Were you surprised he pulled Georgie at all?
Yes, I actually was. Mostly because I was surprised it happened, because most NHL coaches, I have the general opinion of that they are not smart enough to understand that while it's only November and there's no such thing as a win now game, I appreciate Gallant understanding that every time he can get 2 points is an important time to get 2 points, regardless of opponent. And this isn't the point in the season, and you, in a tie game, you can't let a goalie figure it out on the fly. Like, do I think he would have pulled Georgiev if the Rangers were up 6-4, 5-3? Like, if the Rangers had a 2-goal lead, I think Georgiev gets the entire game. But I appreciate Gallant being wise enough, smart enough to understand my goalie doesn't have it tonight, and I'm fortunate for this game to be tied because my offense is stepping up and carrying the weight. So let me reward this offense by saying, I'm taking this shit seriously. We're going to get this win. I can appreciate that. But yeah, I'd say I'm surprised again, because I don't expect many NHL coaches, and many NHL coaches don't give me the impression that they think that way. Most of them, in my opinion, seem very dumb, very basic and very archaic.
Was very surprised to see Georgiev on the bench at the start of the third there. Igor comes in, faces 4 shots, maybe the easiest win of his entire career, if not definitely the easiest win of his entire career. Adam Fox continues to be, I don't have enough words in my vocabulary to really describe how great it is to watch Adam Fox every single night. The wherewithal, the knowledge to make that last second play, to skate to the position he was in, to make that goal happen with 0.4 seconds left. So Ryan Lindgren kind of gets that tap in, and Mika Zibanejad has the perfect pass. He's just a limitless player. I know that's the catchphrase I keep saying, but even last night, one thing he did where he was skating towards the boards and someone was trying to lay a big hit on him, and he did like the little tiny shoulder fake and then went the other direction, and the guy went right into the boards and didn't hit Adam at all. And then after that, he did like a no-look backhand pass that was absolutely perfect, but went right to his teammate's stick, tape, and from there it was just like, okay, cool, Adam Fox can do whatever he wants, and he looks effortless doing it. So overall, a not gritty win, a needed 2 points. One of the things I discussed a couple months ago before the season, I think on our season preview with Shayna, I was talking about Georgiev and how this Metro division is going to be really, really hard, and Georgiev could cost you the playoffs because there are times he just lets up goals. And Steve Valiquette in the post game absolutely ripped Georgiev, pretty much saying he can't track the puck right now and isn't an NHL goalie. Do we see a situation where Georgiev gets sent down? Because I just, as much as our client, Keith Kincaid, is playing very well in the AHL, I don't see a situation where they still expose Georgiev to waivers, even though this experiment probably should have been over a long time ago.
You're asking me if the NHL organization been too afraid to expose Lieber Hayek for 8 weeks.
He's back, by the way.
Is going to be not afraid of exposing Alexander Georgiev on waivers.
Yeah.
That's the question. I want to make sure that you're asking me the question I think you're asking.
Let me go ahead and just double check. It is the question, and I retract my statement because I know the answer.
Yeah, no fucking chance.
Yeah.
The Rangers, whether it's of the opinion of Benoit Allaire or Chris Drury or Gerard Gallant, I know the opinion of Drury and Gallant is that Allaire will be able to work with this kid and make something happen. If anyone could do it, it's Benoit Allaire, but I don't think Benoit Allaire is capable of turning ice into wine. So I'm not 1,000% sure this is a necessarily fixable problem. And again, I don't want this to come off as being too critical of Georgiev. There's plenty of reasons why we can be critical of Georgiev, but my issue with this situation, again, the root of the problem is this organization just completely botched and miscalculated what they had in the asset and didn't do the proper math or any geometry you want to throw out there about what their long-term goalie situation was. I understand that on one hand, you wanted a safety net for Igor Shesterkin. On the other hand, you had that safety net. He's your Hall of Fame goalie who had a long legacy and long career of nothing but success for your organization. Your safety net wasn't Alexander Georgiev. And again, I go back to the fact that they just found Georgiev sitting on top of a trash heap in European hockey. He's not a draft pick. He's not a guy that came in with a huge resume. He is just a guy that they found, discovered, liked his playing style, signed him to an entry-level contract, and outperformed every expectation any human being ever had on them.
Which, good on Georgiev for doing that. But
great,
now,
great job. Georgiev went from a guy who had no NHL future to a guy who's had a sustainable NHL career.
$2.5 million a year. Yeah.
Yeah, regardless of what he's doing this year. He is a self-made man, and that deserves some praise. It's just fascinating to me that the Rangers, who, again, all they have invested in Alexander Georgiev is time. They didn't use a draft pick. They didn't acquire him in trade. He is a guy they found and just developed themselves, and he was never supposed to be the guy. He has never been the guy throughout his entire Ranger tenure. And this organization, for whatever reason, just never wanted to turn that into something else that could actually help this team in the long run. And we're now in a position where, you know, he's gone a bit pumpkin. It's past midnight. The ball's over. Cinderella's glass slipper is somewhere else. And unfortunately, the prince has put that shoe on Igor Shesterkin, and it fits perfectly. So it's over. But I feel bad for there's a part of me that feels bad for Georgiev. And I think if the Rangers move on from him, I think he'll find some semblance of maybe peace, maybe success. I think he'll be a backup
in this league, and he'll definitely find a place to play NHL hockey again. Like, his career's over.
I don't think it's tenable for him to stay in New York anymore. Not that I think people are running him out of town. It's just he himself says he's a guy that needs more playing time. And I don't care if it's Keith. I don't care if it's Huska. I don't care if it's Tyler Wall. Whoever's going to be backing up Shesterkin is just not going to be playing very much. And that's a very specific ask you're expecting from a backup goalie. Some guys just need to play. Georgiev thinks he's a guy that needs to play. That's great and good. It's not going to happen in New York. And it just makes me more frustrated that, again, when there was trade value on Alexander Georgiev, the Rangers, for whatever reason, stood pat. It was the wrong calculation in that regard. And now we're to this point where we believe the Rangers are a playoff team. We believe every point is important. And we don't believe that in a game in which Alexander Georgiev can starts, that points are the realistic outcome. That's an unacceptable situation to be in for a playoff team. And what makes it even more frustrating is there is a guy in Hartford, whether we are friends with him or not, that is battle-tested, has a playoff resume, knows what it takes to play when called upon, whether it's every night or once every 3 weeks. And if the Rangers didn't have Keith down in Hartford, would I be saying some of this stuff? I'd probably be saying it along the lines of, the Rangers know what they have is bad, so they need to go find something that's good. But it's the fact that the Rangers have this very safe safety net hanging underneath this team in Hartford, who seems to be not just playing better than Georgiev, but is just a better alternative in the now. And I don't think a playoff team can just afford to sit around and wait, especially when that team finds itself in the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Keith will come up and be a perfect performer. I'm not saying he's going to come up and blow the doors out and just be this awesome goalie, but he's going to keep you in games. He's very serviceable in those situations versus a Buffalo where you don't have to worry about it. Like, there are three back-to-backs in December, Greg. So that's three more games at least. And the schedule is pretty brutal in December. It's constant games, like three or four a week. And Georgiev's going to get a lot of those starts. And this Metro, as you know, is already extremely tight. The Rangers currently sit in third place. They'll be going to play the Islanders twice and the Boston Bruins on Friday. The Rangers seem to be catching the Islanders at quite a good time to play against them, but I can't see a situation where you're going to feel comfortable starting Georgiev with these upcoming back-to-backs. I don't see it. But I think we've kind of spent enough time on Georgiev at this point.
Yeah, it's a little surprising. We've been talking for, what, 15 minutes? And the words like Capococco haven't come out of your
mouth
yet?
That's literally where I was going next. Glad you said it. Capococco, huh? Everybody, just sitting there.
Sending the hard for you. Seems to be struggling.
Two weeks ago, Gregory, you had one of your best rants I talked about on this show last week, and you can go back and let's do it, where we said you drafted the players at 1 and 2. Capococco looks like, since coming back from injury, even the beginning of the season and the preseason and everything else, the points weren't there, but he looked like a different player. We all saw it. We all saw the development. The foot speed was better. The aggression was better. It seemed like the reins were off from David Quinn. And all of a sudden, the confidence that he's gained from Gerard Gallant, sitting on that line with Artemi Panarin and Ryan Strome, has unleashed him in a way that, honestly, even I'm surprised about. Because these goals, Greg, are not, they're not give-me's. They're not tap-ins. They're not just Artemi Panarin just sets it in. He's sitting right next to the net. Artemi Panarin puts it perfectly on his puck, and all he has to do is move his hands forward. They're legitimate goals. Like, Capococco is making moves and driving to the net, which is why we drafted him. To be this Mark Stone-like player that can use his body, fight on the boards, drive to the net, puck handle, and make a pass here or there. I mean, passing is not his number one ability. That's more Lafreniere, but he's just been a different animal this year. I mean, even his forechecking game, you can watch Capococco go after people. He causes turnovers and creates possession himself again this year. He's legitimately, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, he's been a top three player for the New York Rangers over the past like week and a half. That's insane. It to watch him go from the worst rookie that probably ever was to the player he is now, and hoping this streak can continue, because being a point per game player and scoring three over four games is nice and all, but we've all seen Chris Kreider, not this year, but every other year, go this hot streak. If Kako can maintain the level of play he's playing at now, and I think this is a hot take, and you'll probably destroy it, so I'm ready to roll. I think this is one of the best lines the Rangers have had in the past 5 years, and I'm not sure it's close.
I'm not sure about that.
If Kako plays to that level, yes. Yeah, you're right. Maybe there's something closer. It's not like Mika and Panarin, when they play together, of course, are absolutely devastating, but it's not like they're really a line ever.
No, I just think we're very much blinded in the reactionary. That's what I'm doing right now. Yeah, I'll say this. I think if you wanted to circle back to your original point, what has unlocked Capococco's game in my eyes? I think you bring up the point of how, like, I was emphatic that the Rangers, you go back in time in the moment, if they ever took anyone besides Kako and Lafreniere, not only would we all be pissed, we'd all be calling for the organization to be folded. And I believe that. But I think the larger point I've had about this team and about this team's struggles at 5-on-5 and how a lot of people were frustrated with the children and I was the one frustrated with the vets, I do think if you want to go back and look at the tape and look at the games, I think Kako was pressing because, like everybody else on the team, including Ryan Strome, if Artemi Panarin isn't going, this team doesn't feel like it's going. And I think Kako is a smart enough hockey player with high enough hockey IQ to understand that he can't worry about his game until he worries about Panarin's game. And then while Kako was out, and since Kako has come back, Artemi Panarin is looking a lot like Artemi Panarin. Now, whether it's because Gallant finally got the message through to him that, buddy, all I need is for you to shoot and everything else will fall into place, I think that message has raised Panarin's confidence. And as Panarin's confidence gets higher, Panarin is one of the few guys in this league where, yes, he can create his own opportunity, but that dude is aching to create opportunities for other players. And I'm sure he's looking at Kako and being like, buddy, I'm going to get mine, but we're going to get yours too, because my game is taking off. Do I think Kako, this emergence he's having, could have happened without Artemi Panarin's game returning to a Jesper Fast as a line mate level, like from 2 years ago? Potentially. But I do know for a fact that Panarin getting his game back to the level that we are used to seeing from Panarin is absolutely raising all boats with that high tide. And that includes Capococco. And what it's done for Capococco is given him confidence, given him the ability to take more chances offensively. And it's taken away the burden of Kako feeling like he has to be this creator for his star teammate who is struggling to get his season going. We're now at a point where Panarin is cooking, and now Panarin's cooking so much that he's like, you're eating, little chef. You're going to get some too. And now it's like we're seeing this take off. And now the goal here is to keep this kind of momentum going with Kako so that the next time Panarin falters, Kako isn't worried about getting Panarin back going, because Kako is more confident and more trusting in his own game that he just keeps on doing what he's doing. And honestly, to a lesser extent, only a lesser extent because it doesn't show up on the immediate score sheet, you want to talk about lines that have looked the best for the New York Rangers in the last 5 years. Lafreniere, Hedl, and Gauthier is one of the best Ranger lines in the last 5 years.
It looks so good
right now.
Are they
putting pucks
in
the back of the net on a consistent basis? That's the only thing they are not doing. That offense, that line is offense on crack every night. It is the chaotic good.
I do want to talk about that line a little extensively, but I want to give a shout out to Ryan Strome, who we make jokes about, we crack the jokes, but I think I'm officially at a spot right now where I'm scared of losing him. The two-man game he's been playing with Kako, the way he's creating for not only Panarin like he always has, but these short little passes he sets up Kako so Kako can drive to the net, he's just been an incredible player. He's almost criminally underrated at this point, and I'm worried his contract is going to be a lot bigger than I expected it to be at this, like where we're at right now. I think he's going to get like $6.5 million on the open market, Ryan Strome, which sounds bonkers, but from everything I see from Strome, from even the advanced analytics that are showing him, like he's playing quite well. He's doing everything you need. The only criticism I have of Ryan Strome this season and half of last season is that the man can't hit an empty net. He just can't do it. But his passing, his creation, and his chemistry with the two of them has been phenomenal.
I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't necessarily disagree. At the same time, if you're asking which player does something that I find to be possibly the most replaceable on the New York Rangers, I think it's Ryan Strome.
On the whole squad?
Yeah.
Because to me, the answer is Barca Goodrow, but you're talking about the top nine.
I'm talking about someone that will actually... The problem with Barclay Goodrow and his entire contract is going to be summarized with this statement. I'm saying, among the players that have an actual ability to impact the Rangers.
Yes, okay.
That's the meanest thing I could possibly say about Barclay Goodrow.
It is.
It's like, yeah, he's signed for too many years. He's signed for too much money because he's a dude that should not impact the New York Rangers season. But if we're talking about guys who are firmly planted in the top six, firmly have a role in the first power play unit, firmly represent something that is important to the future of the New York Rangers team. Like, if you take Zibanejad away from this team, I think they're fucked. If you take Kreider away from this team, I think it's tenuous, though the Rangers might have to make that decision sooner rather than later. If you take Lafreniere, Kako, Panarin,
right, they're screwed.
If you take away Fox, if you take away Lindgren, if you take away Keandre, if you take away Trouba, like, if you talk about the top six and the top four, so the 10 most important Rangers at any given time, I think we're in this weird place where Ryan Strome is currently on this team, maybe the fifth most important Ranger, and yet of the top 10, the most replaceable. I am more confident I can find a guy to do something within 80% of what Strome does on a nightly basis than I am anyone else in that top 10.
We're going to have a lot of conversations about Strome in the future, but I kind of do want to get back to your point about the Hedl, Lafreniere, and Gauthier line, which has been gangbusters on offense for sure. The defense just hasn't been there just quite yet. But Philip Hedl, another player, along with Keandre Miller, by the way, who I'm sure we'll talk about at some point, maybe with Tom from Stray in a couple minutes, have kind of reinvented themselves after their injuries. Hedl looks like totally new. The aggression he was showing towards the net, I know he said... I think it was to Vince. I can't remember. I said no credit to Vince on that one. He was watching games during his injury where he was saying, okay, how do I become a better defensive player? And he was trying to put that into practice when he came back from injury. And it seemingly has worked, but it's not just the defensive structure that Hedl has brought to this team. He is driving to the net. He's driving play. And a couple weeks ago, I was pretty big on I think Filip Hedl, who I've always considered sort of to be a semi-winger with center second, would be a perfect spot on that top line. Now, Greg, I don't think I can, you could convince me that I'd rather have Hunt on the top line, which I know sounds bonkers and crazy, but I don't want to break up that Hedl Lafreniere Gauthier line because it's just too dangerous. The Gauthier does something every single time he's on the ice. I think one of the games he had like 12, I think it was the Maple Leafs game. Gauthier was a monster. He had like 12 straight shifts where he was creating, making an icing happen, going towards the net. Like, he didn't score, but he had everything else. Like, the kids look great when they're buzzing on that line. It's really, the funny thing about this, and it sucks, is like the Rangers are missing one key right winger that's worth $5.8 million over 6 years on the top line. And I think this team is like cracked out, like you said. Like, everything else is kind of really good. I have some complaints about Goodrow. I have complaints about Nemeth, and we'll get to Nils Lundqvist, I'm sure, being benched again for Jason Snorty, along with Tom from Stray there. But boy, if Buchnevich is still here on that top line, I think we're really cooking. Really are.
It's what I opened the show with. It's, I don't know if I'll ever get over the fact that Drury pulled the good GM, bad GM double. It's remarkable. Like, every team is trying to find, and the Tampa Bay Lightning are trying to find the guy to replace the production Barclay Goodrow gave them on a nightly basis when he wasn't making any money. And the Rangers nailed that by signing Dryden Hunt. But they also gave Barclay Goodrow the money that a smart organization wouldn't have and didn't want to give him. It's remarkable. I'm with you. I'm in a weird place where I don't see any scenario in which I can rightfully break up that line of Lafreniere, Hedl, and Gauthier. I don't want to touch it. I want to find a way to give them more time on the ice, as hard as that is, considering, again, that is your, in theory, third most important line on any given night. I would like to see Gallant. If there's one thing, Gallant is better at this than Quinn was, for sure. Where if Gallant realizes something is working, he tries to emphasize it a little more. I just, in the moment, and I'm happy Gallant did this last night because it just flat out was not working with Goodrow on that top line against the Sabres. And he said, fuck this. I'm not losing points in this game. I'm changing something. And he didn't want to move Kako up because he likes that line. And he didn't want to move Gauthier up because he likes that line. So it gave him one option, which was Dryden Hunt. And it just so happened to work. And thank God, because if it didn't work, then you have to get a David Quinn line blender going. And that's not good for anybody. Because you, instead of fucking up the chemistry on one line, you're fucking up the chemistry on three lines.
I just can't move lines two and three right now. They're too explosive.
You can't do it. This is one of the first times on this podcast where we are talking about a great problem to have this season.
This is amazing.
Right? It feels like this entire year up until this point, we've been talking about doomsday devices, bullshit, not being able to score, terrible everything except Igor Shesterkin and Adam Fox. It seemed like the world was caving in on us, all while the Rangers continued to just get points from every fucking game.
Yes.
But finally, on November 22nd, the week of Thanksgiving, you know what I'm thankful for? The fact that we're talking about a good problem to have. That is fucking great. Now, I'll say this. Dryden Hunt, I am willing to ride with it in the short term. I think we give it as much run as we can. However, I think a smart organization understands that this is nothing more than a Band-Aid. And this still needs a very serious, more permanent replacement that the Rangers need to lean into. I'm not expecting Dryden Hunt to go on some magical run here. If we want to go back to harken back to Met comparisons, right? You know who Dryden Hunt is to me?
Who's that?
Young Dylan G.
Wow, a real throwback. Number five starter.
You're absolutely happy that out of nowhere, this guy throwing 88 to 90 miles an hour is somehow giving you quality start after quality start. But you realize that when games get a little bit more important, it's not exactly the guy you can have on the mound. You need to go out there and get someone a little bit more, but I hate to say, like, the battle tested, the veteran,
it's a real thing.
Kind of thing.
It's a real thing.
At the same time, that shit does carry a little weight. And I still think this team is in desperate need of a top six right winger who, when push comes to shove, can put his hot dog on the table and take this team to different heights.
Hot dog, interesting. Interesting. We'll see about the Mr. Kessel edition. Do we want to get to Tom now, or do we want to do five stars real quick?
We can do five stars after Tom.
All right, sounds good. Let's get to Tom, and then we'll come back to some five stars. Maybe we'll even do five stars with him. Who knows? All right, transition. Hey, we're back with our first and only guest of the day, Tom from Straight From The Path. Tom, you are a recurring guest. I guess we'll start off. This is a terrible question because I didn't do research. Are you going on tour soon?
It's all good. So if you can fucking believe it or not. Wait, can I curse on this?
Yeah, fucking curse. Yeah,
can you curse on this, Tom?
I do so many like Twitch streams and podcasts and shit, so I just want to make sure.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm a listener of the podcast. I don't get every episode. I do remember, Greg, you go off a lot. So
that's
well, I got a lot of things to be angry about in my life, Tom.
Just wanted to make sure. But yeah, so we don't actually go on like a full tour until February, which is in Europe. But we have 5 dates in December. What are they? Fucking December 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We play Brooklyn at the Knitting Factory.
Nice.
And stick to your guns and some others. So we play Boston, Philadelphia, Albany, and Hartford. So. It's just to kind of get back into it because we haven't played. And by that time, it'll be almost 2 years. Our last show was January 15th of 2020.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but we're finishing a new record, which the record's done. We just need to get our English drummer from the UK to America, which has been insane to do. But he comes over December 1st, tracks his drums. We shoot some music videos. We play 5 shows.
Dope.
We go home.
Knitting Factory is one of my favorite venues. So
it's awesome. Yeah, yeah, it's great. It's like a nice tiny room, but it's like
it's
good to just get crazy in there. You know?
Definitely intimate. Saw Japan Droids there once, went fucking crazy.
Tom, you told me you had shows coming up. You didn't tell me one of them was in Albany. What the fuck? What are we drinking?
Yeah. Well, I don't drink at all, but I'll watch you go nuts, bro. Like, we'll talk about the Mets. We'll talk about the Rangers. We'll just go crazy. We'll talk about the
My
Mets.
Man is Edge. He talked about it on Twitter. I read. There we go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm Edge, but I chill. I'm not.
There we go. We chill.
You're in Albany, so we're drinking chocolate milk from Stewart's.
Yeah, I'm down. Hey, if you want to actually come, you text me, bro. I got you. I'll take care of you guys whenever, wherever.
I'll see you in Philly. I live here now. Anyway,
let's go.
So let's get right to it. You went to a game, which I believe is with your child, and you got a picture with Artemi Panarin. What the hell happened?
I'm so mad about the Tenorti thing that I forgot that even happened. And I forgot we were even going to talk about it. Yeah, that happened. I haven't braced myself for this too. Because Greg, we've talked about something about this on the side, which I guess I can't touch on, but.
Oh no, you can. He hates us now.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, who hates us? Everybody
I was actually going to offer. I was going to offer because I was like, you know what? How about this? Can I shit on him? And then if he cancels his Patreon, I'll pay for his Patreon. But anyway.
Yeah, I apparently yelled at him in Discord because he was answering questions for Ryan and I.
Oh,
hates us now.
Okay,
and
cool.
He left us.
Anyway, let me get
no. Yeah, Ryan, that guy's the guy that shit on Tom for apparently bringing his kid to a game and destroying the moment.
So let me
sorry that you got to meet Artemi Panarin with your newborn child.
I know, bro. And that's why I was like, and normally I just don't even get into it on the internet. And like, it was like overwhelmingly awesome, right? Like everyone thought it was great.
Awesome.
Here's the thing. I made, you know, I have a new, a newborn daughter. She, well, not newborn. She's 9 months. And when I saw the schedule, you know, I live in Nashville. And when they play the Preds, my whole family goes, right? And, I was like, I wanted to bring my daughter. We bring her every day. We brought her to a Met game, you know, and like, she just draws attention, man. Like, she's such a fun kid. And, you know, when we brought her to the Met game, she was on the screen. She got to meet Mr. and Mrs. Met. Like, it was just fun, right? She just does that. So I was like, you know what? I was like, if we made a sign for her that said, my first hockey game, I want a picture with the Bread Man. Like, and I was like, knowing Artemi, like, if he saw that and he saw this baby wearing an Artemi Panarin jersey, because my buddy Matt, when I had my daughter, got her a Panarin jersey. Sick. So it's just like a thing where it's like, oh, the Bread Man's her player, right?
Yep.
And so we, you know, me and my wife made a sign, took fucking 5 minutes. And, you know, we went down there early and we just put it against the boards. I was like, hey, if he does it, it'll be awesome, right? And I said to my wife, like, because she was like, oh, who are we going to get to take our picture? I was like, no. I was like, it's not going to be the three of us. It's just Ramsey. My daughter's name is Ramsey.
Yeah.
It's just Ramsey and Bread. Right. So, you know, so he comes over and I'm while he's skating by, he skates by it like 4 or 5 times. And I was thinking, I was like, fuck, he can't read this. Like, yeah. You know, like he's good at speaking English, but I was like, man, like it's like construction paper. It looks like a serial killer made it, right?
Yep.
You know, so, yep. So he skates by. I was like, yeah, he probably can't read it. So anyway, then we see him look and he starts like squinting at it. And then he looked at me and I pointed at my daughter and he came over, right?
Sick.
And also before this, which got completely overshadowed, like Ryan Reeves came over and flipped the puck up to her too.
Oh, so I had to, Reeves, yeah. Man. All right, let's start there.
He's the greatest. Okay. Go ahead.
You'll finish your story, then we'll go.
All right, yeah, so I'm almost done anyway. So anyway, he squints over and I point at my daughter. He comes over and then my daughter wasn't looking and he banged on the glass and she looked at him and stared him right in the eyes. And he just looks at her and goes, what's up? Like that. And I was like, oh, this is the fucking best. So I take a picture. I'm not in any picture, right? I'm not using Panarin or using my baby to get a picture with Panarin, right? I'm not like, you know, I just wanted to have some fun with my fucking daughter, right? But what I don't know is the team is across the way and they're filming this interaction. And so I'm in that. And then they posted on their Twitter and their Instagram, their Facebook. Then Chicklets posted. It was on SportsCenter. Like it was everywhere. That's right. Awesome. And it was like, yeah, it went crazy. And like, I didn't expect that. But then at this point, my phone's blowing up, you know, like it's on the MSG thing. And I was like, this is fun. Right. But then there was this one fucking bastard. I hope he's listening. His name's Jordan, whatever. And he's just like, and he didn't even at me or anything. He was replying to it on the thing. He's like, oh, imagine being this much of a fucking loser to use your kid to get a picture with Panarin. And I just like ripped into him. I was like, I wasn't in the picture. This is the team filming it. I didn't know they were fucking filming it. And we're just like going back and forth. And I'm just like, bro, like maybe one day you'll have a kid and you'll just know what it's like to do something fun. And he's like, yeah, your kid doesn't even know where they are. It's like,
oh my God.
Yeah, no fucking shit, you dumb fuck.
Like, Tom, Tom, honest follow up question.
Yeah.
You sure that kid's going to have a kid?
Oh, no way. That's what I was saying. I was like,
attacking this guy.
Yeah. I said something where I was just like, because he's such a like miserable bastard. And I was like, man, I was like, if you ever have like, you know, find someone to marry you and you have a kid, you'll understand one day. He's like, I am married. And I was like, I am so sorry.
Congratulations.
Holy shit. Yeah. Like, so anyway, like leave it at that. Like, you know, he was just shitting on it. It was overwhelmingly, you know, positive. And it was like, it was so fun. And I want to show it to her in fucking 5 years. You'll still be on a team.
It'll be fucking sick. Yeah, so, I'll be around.
Anyways, we're talking about dads. Ryan Reeves. Let's talk about Ryan Reeves.
Yeah, let's talk about daddies. So right away, he was traded for a third, then extended immediately. Greg and I both hated it. Now we're all in. Where are you?
Man, that's why I want to do this podcast again. Me and Greg were talking because I am so aligned with the two of you. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
I'm the same way. Like, I was just like, are you fucking joking me? Like, this guy can't even play. And then it was honestly... There was two things, and it was the Shesty release us.
Yep.
And it was him getting hurt and telling Gallant he wanted to go to the bench. And I'm like, now I get it. Like, I get it. This is important. And we've never really had this before. And then he beat the shit out of that kid.
that was rude. It was very rude.
It was egregious. And like, and he was even like, yeah, I don't know what this is. And then he has that like, oh, so how about them Rangers? Like, he just talks. Like, he reminds me of, like, a more marketable, like, Sean Avery almost, where, like, Avery would just talk differently. And it wasn't just, yeah, I got to get pucks in deep, got to, you know, play north-south, not east-west. And it's just, like, boring, like, interviews. He doesn't. He talks like one of us. And he's just funny. He's like, how about them Rangers? And I'm just like, I love this guy.
Damn, I love this
guy. And I just think, like, imagine being in the locker room with him, you know? Like, it's got to be awesome.
It's since I'm doing Ranger to Met comparisons, it's kind of a deep cut Wannaribe vibe that I get from Ryan Reeves, where the dude is just like, I'm fucking cool.
Yeah.
I love hockey and nothing else matters. And I'm just going to be the coolest dude as I do it. And that was like the vibe Wannaribe had in 2015 with the Mets.
Jesus.
That's the vibe I'm getting from Reeves. I don't know if he's ever going to do anything physically on the ice that will make the New York Rangers better. I just know that I'm having more fun with him being there, and it's been a very long time since I've been able to say that about a Ranger
player. I think I have a really good analogy for it where I can relate to it. So for my band, to people, it's the four of us, right? And like, you know, even beyond that, a lot of people, you know, love Drew, our singer, and Craig, our drummer. Like, they're like our personalities, whatever, right? But they're the four of us, and they love us, whatever, like that. But you got to understand, when we go on tour, and we're out there for 6-7 weeks, And it's fucking grueling, right? It's really hard. It can be, especially as we get older. And, you know, we have our merch salesman, Mikey. We have our photographer, Gabe. And it's like, and our sound guy, like Ronnie. And they're not in the band. We can find a lot of sound guys. We could find a lot of photographers. We could find a lot of merch salesmen, right? They're all over the place. But it's their vibe and their morale. And it's like when, you know, we're on tour and it's tough, those people and their personalities really make me get fired up to play. So like when I'm on week five of a 7-week tour and I'm missing home, you know, and I'm in Europe and I have to go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and I miss the Ranger game, which I literally hate, you know, like yeah. they're the ones that are kind of keeping it fun and they keep it like they keep you fired up and like they really like keep you going. So you think about it this way. It's 82 games over the span of 4, 5, 6 months, whatever. Like you need that guy who's on the plane making you laugh, who's doing the interviews, like firing you up, the Shesty release us, like to fire you up at game 51 against the Coyotes. You know what I mean? It's like, it's important to have that morale boost. And it's like, you really don't understand it until you're in an environment like that where you're doing something long and grueling, where it's like, we turn the game on and we expect the best of them. But you also don't know if like Shesterkin is like, you know, getting shit from his, you know, fiance or whatever, because he's gone all the time and she's lonely and like he feels guilty for leaving her and stuff like that, like which band guys deal with, you know what I mean? And then, you know, when you get that Shesty release does, and he probably fires him up and keeps him focused. It's like, these are people, and to be on the road and to be battling day in and day out and to be a playoff team, like having a guy like Reeves is crucial. And it's like, who was our guy last time? Like Brendan Smith? You know, I'm not shitting on Brendan Smith, but it's like, you know what I mean? Like we never had that like face of the team almost, even though he's plays 5 minutes a game, you know?
Yeah, that last guy was really Tanner Glass and he became a joke more that he was a leader. Now he actually works for the Rangers in prospect development. Go figure that one out.
To your point, Tom, to your point, I gamble a lot on college football, which means I try to listen to some people who actually know or try to know about what's going on in college football. And I remember one time I was listening to this guy talk on a podcast and he was very clearly explaining how stupid it is to gamble on college football. And the point he made is the point you made. It's just, we're sitting at home and we don't know which one of these like 18 to 22 year old hormonal dudes yeah. just got into a fight with his girlfriend who mm-hmm. probably thinks that fight is the only thing and the most important thing going on in his life. And now he's going to have to go up against a defensive line yeah. who might have just had the best week of their life, and yeah. they just want to kill the guy. And we'll yeah. never know if that's actually happening to some poor schmuck quarterback at some weird Eastern Washington like
for sport. Free.
And yet, yeah, and yet here free, I am yeah.
for free.
Yeah, on exploited. That yeah, that's a good thing, because I'll tell you this: like if we're on tour with bands and we're on that 5-week tour, and that band like kind of doesn't really get along, and their crew is a bunch of boring shit, like. We're going to outplay them because we're just in a better mood and we're fired up and we're more of a unit. Like our merch guy, Mikey, has been with us for almost 10 years. You know what I mean? Our photographer, Gabe, has been with us for 3+ years. Like these are people that are like fucking family to us and like our legit crew. They're not just like hired on guys. And there's bands that do that where they just get the guy that just like, oh, the guy or the girl that just comes in and like, please, like, work for us for this tour, and then they don't care, and cut the thing. They don't even talk to them. Like, they're not like, hey, did you eat? Like, do you want us to bring you food to the merch table? Like, they don't do that. Where we do, we all look out for each other, and it makes it easier to do those long, grueling things.
Let's get to Tenorti, because I want to kind of want to give you the floor with this right now. Nils Lundqvist, obviously benched again for, I think, the fourth time this season for Tenorti to play. Tenorti does, what did I call it, a 360 giveaway, where he just puts the puck right on the opponent's stick, and they get to take a shot, which is super cool. And I actually didn't even notice that Patrick Nemeth's contract was 3 years long. Very cool. So I've had a really interesting day. I want to give you the floor for Tenorti and kind of any slander you want to do at this point.
Sure. listen, I am a gallant guy. I'm a GG, right?
I'm getting there.
I'm a gallant guy. I like him. Okay. However, this is strike 7 for me if he plays this dude again. Like, that was a, like, rec league hockey move. Honestly, it was below rec league because I play rec league, and I don't do that. I've never done that in my life. And I don't know what they were thinking. You know, I mean, like, obviously we were just talking about how these people are human, so maybe some shit happened, but it's like, at this point, it's on Gallant now. So Tenorti showed who he was, and it's just not working out. Maybe he's better in another, because I'll tell you this, I watched fucking, you guys might hang up on me, but I watched the Avs the other day, and like, I watched Jack Johnson, and I'm like,
no, man, yeah, he looks pretty good. I don't know what's going on.
He looks fine. He looks fine. Like, and I'm just like, holy shit, like, good for him. So it may be the system, and I get that. Like, it could be he doesn't like where he is. He's not playing enough. Get it. But the team is special, and I'm not saying that they're the best. I'm not saying, you know, whatever. I'm just saying that they're special, and there's definitely a vibe going on. But with the Nemeth, and, like, you could stomach Nemeth when he's with Nils, but you can't stomach the Tenorti and Nemeth. I just can't. And I know you guys fucking love Hájek.
We
but
do.
It's like, man, I'll take Hájek over those two. I really would.
Well,
don't hang up on me. Don't hang up on me.
I don't know about that. Let me do something I wasn't prepared to do. I'm going to give you a good news, bad news here.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to give you a pro Gallant opinion and an anti Gallant opinion. And you tell me what you want to do with these.
Sure.
The pro, the general vibe that I have gotten from these moves to put Tenorti in over Lundqvist, it sounds like it's coming from a place of keeping Nils fresh and not necessarily a Quinn binning, right? It's not that Nils is playing poorly. It's that here's a kid in North America for the first time in his young professional career, 21 years old, trying to adjust to the world's most competitive and grueling league and doing so in a condensed Olympic year schedule. So he's playing more games rapid fire than he's ever played before. And Gallant is worried about his freshness. I can appreciate and understand that because Ryan and I have definitely talked about on this podcast where the NHL was the one league where we're for some reason completely obsessed with everybody playing every game. If this was basketball, baseball, football, if a guy got a week off, it wouldn't seem like the craziest thing in the world. We wouldn't panic about it as much as we do in the NHL. And I've always thought that's an interesting opinion. So that is the good Gallant take. The bad Gallant take here is last year, Ryan and I got accused of being probably more pro Quinn
than anybody else on earth.
Anybody else on earth. And every time someone would say we're pro Quinn, we'd make the point that it's not that we're pro Quinn. It's just that we think every NHL coach, but about four, is just flat out bad. And this stuff that Gallant pulls is stuff that every NHL coach I've ever seen, but like Barry Trotz, pulls. And it's this was my point with Quinn. I'm not saying the Rangers would be 11-4-3 with Quinn. I'm not saying they'd be 4-3-11 with Quinn. I don't know what they would be. It's just that every NHL coach, it's just a different slice of bad. And it's just, he'll do something that's going to piss you off and wish that you were following a team with a smarter guy. It was never that I didn't think David Quinn was a good coach. It's that I think every coach is a bad coach. And I think Gerard Gallant has done enough to do plenty of things I like. David Quinn did things I like too.
Yep.
But Gallant also does things I hate, which David Quinn did plenty of things I hated too.
Yeah. I appreciate both of those takes. Let me alter what I'm saying. I'm going to say from here on out, when I get the lineup for yesterday and I see no Nils and I see no Igor, I go, all right. Like, I get it. I get Georgiev. It's Buffalo. Hopefully he doesn't give up more than three goals. We all saw how that happened. Which, honestly, some of them weren't even his fault. Like, one of them was definitely Tenorti's fault, even though, you know, they're coin flips on a breakaway. And the first goal was just, like, kind of jumping around. And then the Tage Thompson shot was just, like, a miracle, like, amazing shot. But, oh, my God, that Dahlin shot. I was like, you got to do something about this. Like, at some point, you got to just be like, because what I hate, and this is where I was like, fuck yeah, Gallant, like, awesome, was because he recognized he just didn't have it. Like, Georgiev let in a, like, basically a full-on wrist shot from the point go over his glove. Like, you know, barely any traffic, right? And, like, and most coaches go, well, I've committed to giving the starter a day off, so I'm just going to keep doing that. No, it's 2 points against 2 points that you should have. So go get it. Like, tell him to go play 20 minutes. Like, you put Igor in. Like, and he did that, and I like that because I don't want to shit on Georgiev too much because he definitely gets shit on. Like, I saw him put, like, the Rangers said, like, in net tonight, and it was Georgiev, and I looked at the replies, and it was just all, like, good game, Buffalo. Like, all right, you know, whatever. So, like, he sucks, but I don't think he's, like, that bad. I mean, that last game was bad. So here's what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry I'm talking circles. From here on out, like, it should be no, like, believe who Tenorti told you he was. Like, we've never seen shines of greatness. You know, like why can't that be Brennan Smith? Like, that should be. Like, Brennan Smith last year was better than Tenorti is now. And he's better than Hayek and maybe even better than Nemeth. I mean, Nemeth is like, the least of my problems because to me, I don't notice that he's playing, and that's okay. You know, it's just like he's just there and, like, leave him alone, like, whatever. But, like, it's Buffalo. Like, let Nils play against the team. Like, I know that their record's deceiving and they can still be hard to play against. Like, I mean, look at yesterday. That was a tough win. And they're hard to play against, but you should beat them. Like, let Nils play that team that you could just – you could have beat up, you know? And so that's the only thing where I'm just like, okay, like, I get what you're saying. Like, keep Nils fresh. Like, it's new league for him. Like, it's all good, but I just want him to get time because look at Kako.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'll say, Tom, to this point, not to cut you off, but I'll
okay,
say
I'll
this.
Keep talking if you don't.
No, I'll say this. I can appreciate Gallant for wanting to keep Nils fresh. I can. The problem is it still haunts me to this day that when we brought Shayna on for our season preview, Shayna made the point to say, no, Tenorti's here because Gallant legit likes his game. He's not here to be an enforcer. He's not here to just be a guy that sits around and plays occasionally. He's a dude that Gallant believes in. Okay. And that conversation, I think, has haunted me more than any conversation I've had this year. And I know for a fact, nobody on Rangers Twitter has more heart attacks and potential aneurysms from how not just the Rangers, every NHL team handles what they do with their seventh defenseman than Rob Luker. Because seventh defensemen that are not just better than Tenorti, but better than some guys that are playing legit 18 minutes a night for NHL teams, they are readily available. They are free. They are everywhere. And for whatever reason, this league doesn't see value in those type of players who are just low event dudes that don't give up high opportunities and also don't create high opportunities, which I got to be honest, is exactly what you should really want from a seventh defenseman. So to your point, yes, I agree with you that Tenorti and the idea of Tenorti is a problem. And it's a bigger problem that Gallant sees all of that and everything he's done to this point and believes that that is a useful player. I can say all that while also saying I can actually appreciate Gallant thinking long-term with Nils Lundqvist and not trying to sandwich him into every game. I wish there was like a Freddie Claesson that was coming in every night instead of Tenorti. Yeah. Like if the Rangers had a legit 7th D, I think this is a completely different conversation.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like, and you compare it to other sports and it's like, and you're a Mets fan. So it's like, yeah, I want, you know, Lindor in there every game, but if he's not in there and it's Jonathan VR, I'm cool. Like Jonathan VR is completely competent. And obviously he was a good reason why they had anything happening yesterday with all their injuries, but let's not talk about the Mets. Different disaster. Yeah. But I'm saying is like, there is like who, okay. So like, what's an ideal seventh defenseman? Like who's out there that we could have? Like, I mean, like, cause to me, I'm like, why didn't Brendan Smith come back? You know, I don't know what you guys take. I can't remember the Brendan Smith, like where you guys stand on Brendan Smith.
I love Brendan Smith, like to a level that is, probably not cool. Like I rode the Brendan Smith bandwagon super hard. The guy did everything the Rangers asked him to do and more, played forward, was one of the better defensemen after the Tom Wilson incident, actually was the only person to show toughness at first. Yeah. Unbelievable. To not bring him back, I thought was a little bit of a crime. I'm not sure what his contract is. I'm going to look it up right now. With
Maryland. Like, I think it's just 1 year, $1 million. I think it's something stupid. That's
like, are you fucking joking me? Like, how do we like, and also like of all the teams that Brendan Smith has been on, this is his type of team, you know, like.
Yeah, like, but all it takes is for the Hurricanes to say, we think we can play you more than the Rangers. And he'll probably want to go to the Hurricanes. right? Like, we talk about human element of the game. I think Brendan Smith knew if he stayed here, he'd be another guy that probably played 20, maybe 20 games this year, and maybe he wanted to go somewhere he could play a little more.
I understand that, and he's boys with, like, Brady and probably with the other guy that we don't name.
Yeah, who's the fifth in scoring. There you go.
Yeah, I get. I was having this conversation today. It's not that, like, anyone thought he wasn't good.
No, everybody – that's the thing about Tony. It's like everybody knew he was good at hockey. That wasn't it. If Tony D'Angelo didn't have Twitter – he'd have a five-year, $5.5 million contract with the Rangers, but he had
20. Oh, yeah, maybe more. I mean, and honestly, going back to what I was saying about, you know, comparing to being in a hockey team is comparing it to being in a band, I could never tour 5 weeks with a guy like that.
Yeah.
So I get, you know, I don't care how good you are. Get the fuck out of here. But let's not derail it with
yeah, we could do that for
more miserable stuff. Yeah. But if he's getting one and one, like, that's like an egregious move to make right there.
I didn't love it. I love Brendan Smith. I the more I look at the Nemeth thing, the more I get worried. I think they're going to try and ship him out at the trade deadline. It's kind of been the feeling I get.
Yeah, Ryan, your feeling's dumb.
Why is that? You really think he's going to end up staying? I think they tried to ship him because they need to get him off the books. Like, the money is just too tight.
They don't need to get him off the books this year.
Next year they do. Next year they do.
Okay, that's a problem for the summer. I don't think the New York Rangers see a problem with Patrick Nemeth right now.
Oof.
I think they think he's doing everything they brought him in to do.
I want to go on. Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just saying I kind of agree. Like, with Connordy being there, I don't see Nemeth as a problem. And again, like, there hasn't been – I mean, he got undressed by McDavid, but it's like,
that
okay.
Happens to everybody.
He gets a little passed because it's literally one of the greatest to ever do it.
Jesus.
And honestly, that's it. It's really all that comes to mind. It's like, but he really doesn't fuck up much. He's not great, but he's not bad.
I think people were expecting Nemeth to truly carry Nils Lundqvist, and he hasn't done that. No. I don't think he's hurting Nils Lundqvist when he plays with him, but I think people expected him to help him more, and I don't think he's doing that. But Ryan, they are not trading him before the deadline, guarantee you that.
Yep.
They're not trading him this summer, I can guarantee you that.
Ugh.
I don't think the New York Rangers, Chris Drury, Gerard Gallant, see a single thing Patrick Nemeth has done this year and consider it to be a problem. I think fans forget sometimes that what we see doesn't necessarily reflect what the team sees. And I've used that point a lot with Alexander Georgiev over the years. And I think it's becoming more and more clear that the team's view of Georgiev has changed. But with Nemeth specifically, I don't think the New York Rangers see a single thing he's done this year as problematic. I think they view it as he is a veteran defensive presence on that third pairing who could play on the PK, and he's going to be fine. And in their mind, I think he's been fine.
We'll get into this another day, but he's a contract that has to be moved because it's the only movable contract if you want to actually get a second line center when you lose Strom.
It's a ridiculous contract. Like, I can't believe it. You guys beef Strom.
We love him. To be honest, he's just like an adventure.
You give him shit a lot.
He's an adventure. That's what he is. Like, he's a great locker room guy, like, top of the line, awesome dude, great interview, great media, great passer, hates empty nets, like, can't hit him. That's who he is.
Yeah. Man, they gotta be worried though, because you're seeing, you know, a 4 or 5 game point streak with all three of them now. And it's like the one line that has stayed healthy, fucking knock on wood. And they're clicking. And, you know, the Kako goal yesterday, it's like oh, baby. Woo. Like, it's crazy because every time he does something, I literally think of the two of you.
Thank you.
Because it's just like, because I'm just like, oh, trust me. We were talking. Oh, that's another thing we get into is receipts. I got receipts. These motherfuckers will never hear the end of it.
Dude,
again.
2 weeks ago, they were like, hey, we're sending Kako to the AHL. He's got no points. It's like, can we just wait? Yeah. He looks great. Dude.
There is a deranged person, and their Twitter handle is...
Wow, we're calling him out.
Oh, yeah. This guy's crazy. He is crazy, like skin wearer. All right, I call him skin wearer. I'm not going to call him out. But anyway,
okay.
He's actually... I'm going to text Greg, because you know who he is.
I know who he is. I'm sure I know who he is. Is he in my replies constantly?
I'm excited to see it. I'm very much thrilled for this text.
Oh, God. This is talking the shit. This is podcasting 101. Everybody. Good shit.
Okay. Greg, please tell me if you know who I'm talking about. I just texted it to you.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, exactly who it is.
Oh, I got the text too. It says Fitz GSN. Oh, my God.
but text Ryan that so he could see. You both know. You 100% know.
Okay.
But this dude is nuts. I have screenshots of him like calling the hit Kako and Lafreniere like bus, like cereal, like just going crazy. And yeah, sorry, you put it in the message. So he's he just goes nuts, and I'm like,
yeah, I know exactly. I knew who you were talking about before you said it.
You had to have. He's insane. So I'm just like, I'm seeing him stuff, and like, there's people that are like, they're bust, like trade them while their value's up. Like, oh, I wish we could have got. It's like, I think you guys made this. It might have been you guys that made this point, but it was just like, Lafreniere and Kako were picked for the Rangers. They did not pick them. Like, they were picked for him. Okay, so it was number one overall, you're Lafreniere. It's just, that's it. There was no strategy. It's just, that's it. And Kako, it was him or Jack. And they picked Jack, and we get Kako. And it was going to be the other way around. So it's like, these were picked for them. And, you know, so it's like, these people are shitting on the Rangers for getting to call them bust. I'm just like, man, have they not showed you enough that it's there? And I think Kako is finally clicking. And Strome setting him up yesterday, it was just like, it was like he knew where he was going to be. And the biggest thing from last year to this year is Kako got the puck on his stick and he drove to the fucking net.
Coffee.
And I'm like, this, yes. Like, he's like, I'm going to score here. And it was just great. And like, Bread's finding him. And I'm like, man. A lot of people talking about Strome walking, but it's like, if this shit keeps going on.
I am nervous, Tom.
You better get fucking nervous.
I am nervous.
Because, you know, I think Strome, like, I also hate the, like, ooh, good old hometown discount.
No way. Rydstrom almost traded 3 years in a row. Why the hell would you
take
this?
Let me try out something I haven't tried out on this podcast before. Tom, you're going to be hearing this fresh for the first time live as it happens.
Let's go.
Hear me out. We talk about Ryan Strome possibly getting paid too much, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he actually doesn't get paid. And you know what evidence I have that he might not get paid? The New York Rangers have been trying to trade him for 3 years, and no team has said yes. Yeah. So maybe nobody likes Ryan Strome, and he'll have to take a hometown discount because nobody wants to pay this man.
Yeah, and fuck it. Like, if he comes back and says he'll take – all right, you gave me 4.5. I'll do it for $5.
Oh,
like,
Ryan Strome, $5 million. Sign me up right now.
Like, sign me up. You know, he's 28. You know what's crazy? I got cap friendly up. Jacob Trouba is 27.
Yeah,
it's fucking
young.
Nuts.
Young.
He's young. And he's another guy that, like, oh, I got receipts on that too, because everyone just like shitting on him, which, to be fair, last year was definitely kind of
a little bit
crazy.
Of a down year. I understand.
It was down. But man, he is like a fucking pit bull, like snarling every shift.
He looks great
now. And he's shooting a lot, and I think his goals are going to start coming.
Well, he's got to shoot within 2 feet of the net at first.
Then we can figure that out.
Yeah.
Snatching it. But it's like, man, like, they got a lot of special shit going on. I'm not saying they're perfect, and I'm not saying that, like, maybe they've completely earned their awesome record. But there's something – it feels different. And, like, we are getting hooked the fuck up with Chris Kreider. I think it was you, Ryan, that said it. They're like – 30. If he doesn't score 30,
yeah, this is a Gregism, like, too. Yeah, it's like,
it's just not happening. Like, if it's not happening now, it'll never happen. But he's like, man, the way he's playing, it's like that $6.5 million is gonna look really good, you know. And then, like, wait till Mika's gonna start clicking, which he will, you know. Again, we were here last year where everyone's shitting on him. I got the receipts. This motherfucker's gonna show up, and he's not even been bad, like, he's been sneaky, like, good, And, you know, like, even that play, like, where he passed to Lindgren, like, he's just so aware. And he's, like, really playing good. He's just going to, like, the goals will start clicking like they did last year. And so there's something special going on, and it's cool. And, like, I'm worried about the contract that I'm worried about that's not, like, one of the rookies that they got to sign is Lindgren. And I'm worried about it because he's 23. Let the record show. I am absolutely head over heels.
Everybody is, so you're not alone.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure I wasn't saying I'm worried about it like I don't like him.
No, we love him.
I don't like him. I love him, right? However, I mean, he's restricted after these 3 years, which is huge because he's 20 fucking three. He's 23, and he's your top two. He's your Jeff Bookaboom that everyone's been looking for fucking 25 plus years. And, you know, he's getting $3 million right now. And it's like they could potentially have the best top 2D like in the fucking league soon. And it's like, what's this guy going to be? He hasn't even hit his prime yet. So he's going to be 26, and it's going to be 2024.
Yeah, him and Adam Fox will be 26 years old at the same time. Sweet.
It's insane, bro. And then, like, you know what? You're going to have to probably pay them 15, 16 million to keep your top two.
Lindgren doesn't score, which is like the good part about his contract.
Sure. Sure. Well, also, no, you're right.
Let me ask a difficult question here for you, Tom. He's 23 now. He'll be 27, 28 years old by the time he becomes an actual unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
You think Ryan Lindgren plays a style of hockey that you want to sign someone at 27 or 28 to a long-term contract for?
You're smart. Yeah, you're smart. You're right.
I'm not rooting against it. I wouldn't be angry. Not. There are some dudes that if you lock up, it's just like a feel-good lockup. Like Chris Kreider, right? When the Rangers locked him up. It's like, I can't really be angry about this contract because it's Chris Kreider. I have all this history with him. I love the man.
Yeah.
But if you want to look at things in a vacuum and you want to look at things as much as you can to take the emotion out of it, does Ryan Lindgren play a style of hockey that you want to lock up for ages 29, 30, 31, 32, 33?
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to even think about it, but it's like, you're right.
I am here to ruin your day. That is what I do well.
Honestly, you're making it good because I look at it this way. You know, he's getting $3 million. What is he going to get? $5 million, maybe 2 years.
Let's see where the cap goes. But yeah, I would say right now he'd get like 4.5, something like that.
Sure. And so five is like high end. And then, you know, you get that for 24 and then for 25 as well. And then 2026, he's a UFA. But also in 2026, he's UFA. And Trouba's out. So, and they're probably not going to re-sign Trouba when he's 33.
You're talking about the year that Trouba and Panarin are off the books at the same time. And mysteriously, Connor McDavid is also a free agent. Very interesting. Very interesting.
That's very, very interesting.
Makes you think.
Yeah, I mean, like, so the Panarin and Trouba are out. So maybe, you know, maybe he's playing fucking his best hockey ever. And then they can re-sign him for 6.5 or whatever the fuck. But you're right. Like, that's definitely like not a style that can last, and you're lucky you got him at 23 to 28, you know. So it's like in 5 years, like they probably, if they're not winning a cup or even coming close, then they're probably asking different questions.
The window is 5 years, Tom. Like, it's, you know, you got to do it before Mika and Panarin are at the tail end of their contracts. So
yeah, and it'll be a fucking shame if Panarin doesn't get one in the next 5 years.
There's been a couple shames for New York Rangers. I don't know if you've heard.
are you guys going?
We will be there tonight. We will be there.
I'll be there too.
Yes, we will be there, with bells on. Very good times. Tom, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Any final thoughts on the team? I mean, I agree with you that something is different this year, whether it's Gallant, whether it's Igor taking a step, whether it's Adam Fox just existing on another plane of existence than we do. But where do you see this going from here? I predicted before the season they finished second in the Metro, and I have to be honest, when I did it, it felt bad, but I did feel that way. And I think they might do it.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. There was a lot of weird things going on before the season started, like the, you know, the Kraftsoff stuff, which I'm glad we didn't get into.
Yeah.
I have a lot of like interesting takes. Like, I think Julien Gauthier is good. I also am now, as the past week, I actually really like Barkley Goodrow. And I'm starting to kind of see it with him. And, you know, I think Lafreniere is going to get there. I have no worries about him at all. I think Kako is finally going to start hitting it too. I love the D. Like, the top four is great. I mean, like, I think one of you guys tweeted today, like, some of you motherfuckers wanted to put Keandre Miller in AHL.
No, it was
like,
Kako. It was me, but yeah.
I made the Keandre point last night, right? Okay. It's not all about you, bro.
Sorry.
That's what I'm saying. Like, these motherfuckers are just like, oh, send him to AHL. Like, do you sleep with a helmet on? Like, what is wrong with you? Because, like, Keandre Miller has been fucking great. And how old is Keandre?
They're all
Miller
children, bro. They're all like 22, dude. 21. Like, Filipino looks like a grizzled veteran. Like, he sees goatee coming, he's 21 years old.
He's 22, bro. Dude, Heedle's the one. Heedle is the one where I'm just like, this guy is finally making his moves. And, like, so I'm really excited about that. especially with Eichel, like, not being a thing. Like, everyone was worried, like, oh, Hedl, like, Strom, does that really seem like a Stanley Cup? And, like, man, if Hedl becomes someone in the next 2 years, like, that's going to be, like, that's the guys you need. You know, the bottom six, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like our top six is good to go. Like, and they're always reliable. The power play is starting to do good. Like, it feels good. You got your top 4D, and then it's just the rest of it. You got to figure out the Nemeth, and you got to figure out the Tenorti. And then, you know, I'm happy with the fourth line. I think, and as my cousin calls him, Vitaly Huntsov, is good. I think that fucking...
I like that one. That's good.
Yeah. I think Kevin Rooney is great. I really do think so. I mean, I wish we had, like, a Jesper Foss there, but you know what I mean? Like on that line. And then Reeves is good, and, like, I really like the Gauthier, Lafreniere, and Hedl. Like, so anyway, not to be long-winded, let me ask you before we go.
Yeah,
what do you think is the move with Georgiev? Like, what do you think? Like, be biased with your client there.
Yes.
Even though I think that that's the move. But what do you think's the move? Because, like, if you can't find someone to take a Strome, right? Like, how do you find someone to take a Georgiev?
I think you're on thin ice at this point in time with him, where you're going to give him to Benoit Allaire, say, listen, we have three back-to-backs in December. We need this fixed. And if after those three back-to-backs, it's not about winning or losing those games, because you can lose no matter who's in net versus those teams. It's just if Georgiev lets up softies and he's the sole reason, then you have to send him to the AHL and hope that nobody claims him. It just has to happen. I don't care who you call up. Greg said it earlier on the show. Like, it could be my client Keith Kincaid. It could be Garland or Wall, whatever, Husko, who's playing well. Like, it doesn't really matter. Someone has to come up, and you have to give something else a shot because the Metro is too strong. And it's been
feel like people like Kincaid. Like, he's a good guy to have on the team. He's only 32 or 33. He's 8-1-1. Like, it's not that bad to have a guy like that with Igor.
People forget, like, I mean, I hate to do the people forget trope. He dragged the New Jersey Devils to their last playoff appearance, and he lost to, maybe you've heard of them, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, it's not like he was terrible in Montreal. He had hard times there. He came to New York to try and rejuvenate his career. He did that when they were carrying three goalies to keep him on, and started him multiple times over Georgiev, but Georgiev's the asset.
Great.
Yeah, they want to keep him around, Georgiev, so we'll see what happens.
I don't understand, man. Like, something that's got to move, you know? Like, I feel like that's something that's got to give.
I'll say this. I think there is a difference between Strom and Georgiev. With Strom, I think the Rangers have had a hard time finding a dance partner. With Georgiev, I think the Rangers have had a hard time finding someone to meet their price. And I do think that is an important distinction we should make. I think there are teams that will want to take a chance on Georgiev, and he will definitely get claimed if you try to pass him through waivers. The real question is not, do the Rangers want to move Georgiev? The real question is, are the Rangers ready to swallow the bullet that they fucked up here when it came to asset management, and finally accept that they're just going to get whatever they thought they were getting? They're getting 20 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. That's what I was like, what's the asking price, you know?
I think they were looking for a second, or like even a first. I think they were looking legitimately for a first for a long time. And then, which is insane. And then,
insane. They didn't even get that for Cam Talbot, you know?
Yeah, which was also at the time I was confused about. But hockey goalies just don't get the value. Like, Marc-Andre Fleury went for free. Like, I know he hasn't been good this year, but didn't he go for free
twice?
Yeah, like, this is insane. So, yes.
And he's literally top five in wins of all time.
One of Vezina? So it's where you're just sitting there with Georgiev. It's they wanted a second. I think they'll likely get nothing now, but I think they could have gotten like a fourth or maybe a third, a higher up. I don't think so. Fourth was probably where you were looking at.
And last, real last question: you think they make a move with for another winger?
They have to. I don't think they're going to do it soon at all. I think they're going to wait.
What's going to be?
What defines soon?
Before
Christmas?
Before the Olympics? No, not before Christmas.
Before the Olympics, I think they will. I don't think any team is going to want to fuck around and wait before the Olympics.
I think it'll be mid-January.
Do I think it happens before Christmas? No, I don't think it happens before Christmas.
I don't think so either. Yeah. They're going to keep riding this out. But at some point, like, you got to look into it. And, like, who's your ideal get? Like, I know
we love Kessel.
You guys for sure love – I don't know if it's a joke or not.
It's like a joke, but also he'd be great to, like, just – like, if you just put him on that line where Goodrow is now. It's like, well, Phil Kessel, like, he's very talented. Like, I know he's like Phil Kessel, and he's older now.
I do think Kessel gets unfairly shit on because I don't know if he just refuses to play defense, but I know it's not in his game.
But he's in Arizona. He doesn't have to do anything. He just eat hot dogs and lay in the sun.
I'm a big believer in good teams are built with stars and then guys who do one thing incredibly well. And the one thing Phil Kessel does incredibly well is generate offense at 5-on-5, which is one thing that the New York Rangers so far this season have struggled with on a night-to-night basis. So, and then
he's a rental.
I will say I would have been more open to considering other candidates if people weren't so hard against Phil Kessel, which now just makes me want him more because I'm a piece of shit asshole. And that's just how I am.
That's why I vibe with you, because I'm the same way. It's like, oh, you got to watch this show. I'll be like, no, I'm not going to watch it. It's just like I'm the same way. I'd love Kessel. I'd love to take a flyer on Tarasenko, but I mean,
yeah, depends. The Blues are winning though.
The Tarasenko's not going to go anywhere. I think they're going to do one out though. What was that?
Doesn't he still want out?
Yeah,
I think so. But if the Blues are winning, it doesn't matter. Like the Blues aren't trading him.
Yeah,
they won't make it happen. I think they're going to shop pretty cheap though. It's going to be like a name you haven't really heard of, for like something like a fourth. Something like that, and then they're going to try and make that guy into the next whatever. So they're improve the top six thing. That's what they're still working on. Like they don't know. Like Hurdle is the guy that you're going to keep hearing about over and over again from San Jose. He's like maybe the one guy they've been linked to again. Like it was always like, hey, if they don't get Eichel, maybe get Hurdle. But Hurdle's going to cost a shit ton of money, and he's also a year younger than Mika Zibanejad. So I'm not really sure how that's going
to
play out.
I'd rather re-sign Strome. But anyway, I could talk to you motherfuckers all day.
Yeah, we could do this forever. We have to go record 5-star questions. But Tom, you're going on tour. You can go see him at the Knitting Factory, just straightfromthepath.com. They can check everything out.
Fucking I don't know. Instagram Straight from the Path, Twitter @StrayFromDaPath, DA instead of THE. Nice.
Very cool.
Hold on, Tom, before I let you go.
What's up?
I am a greedy motherfucker and I was told to give you 3 minutes to ask you a very specific question.
Nine Inch Nails album.
I saw this too, here we go. Ice Nine Kills. Let me tell you one thing about Ice Nine Kills. I assume that person asked because they wanted me to shit on it, right?
No, I think he legitimately likes it.
Oh, okay, cool. Because then I'll say this. I do not like Ice Nine Kills, but I'm a 34-year-old, so it's like it's not – I'm not their audience. I will say this. I toured with Ice Nine Kills in 2009, and they didn't have a manager. They didn't have an agent. They didn't have a label. They didn't have fucking shit. I know for a fact that band is one of the most hardest working bands I've ever – experience in my entire life, and I've played with a lot of them, and they got this gimmick that's very theatrical, like whatever, so I don't like it, but I will say I respect that band to no end. And when I saw that, I figured they thought that I hated it, and I definitely don't like it, but I will say Ice Nine Kills, while it's not my shit, I respect them because I've seen them do it from fucking nothing, which is like very similar to what Stray did. So I always like kind of, you know, gelled with them and respected them, and I always want the best for them, and they're fucking massive right now. So I couldn't love that more. Not my shit. I don't brush my teeth to fucking Ice Nine Kills, but I root for them.
I love the term. I don't brush my teeth to them. That's sick.
You know what I mean? I won't put it on my own time, but I definitely root for them, and I respect everything they've done. So hopefully that was fucking I don't know, a minute.
I've never listened to them. Like I don't even know what they are. Fucking,
oh, it's like they do like a bunch of like horror movie, like American Psycho stuff. Like, look into it. It's very creative and very awesome. It's just not for me. Like,
not my thing. Again, I'm not a horror movie guy, to be honest.
Neither. I like one ever. I like The Shining because it's not even, to me, it's not even a horror movie. It's just a guy losing his shit. Yes, you know what I mean? So it's like, so I don't know. I hope that is, but whoever the fuck asked that, you better fucking pay up.
Yeah, I'll just, you said a lot of words that didn't make any sense to me. I didn't even know if that was a real band. I'm just two things. I am a unemployed human and a whore, so I will do anything for money. Therefore, I was asked to do something for money. I'm going to fucking do it. So hey, there you go.
Tom, thanks so much, man. Everyone can follow
you. Guys.
We'll have you back on sometime later in the season. We'll just
ask me and I'm there.
I know, baby.
Hell yeah.
All right, thanks, bud. Talk to you soon.
Hey, boys.
Hey, we're back. We're doing 5-star questions now. Me and Gregory. Very fun times.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Still here.
Welcome back. All right, so let's get to 5 stars. Here we are. Vancouver is probably firing their GM at the end of this. This is from
you don't want to say who this is from, huh?
I'm going for it. Mechanic. They're firing their GM at the end of the season, blowing up their team. I don't want to start another offer sheet rant because Greg is right, and B, we can't change the pass. But mentioned they want four solid firsts for Elias Pettersson. That would help the rebuild. With all the extensions signed and upcoming for the kids, can the Rangers even afford Pettersson with his extension without moving someone on a no-movement contract? After the summer of possibilities fizzled, I don't want to get my hopes up for premier center. They can if Chris Kreider is gone.
Right. So to answer the question that he specifically asked, no, they need to move Kreider.
In 2024, the no-movement contract comes modified no-movement, which would
be... I will also say this. While I love Chris Kreider and I love everything he's doing, that contract will never be more movable if this is the year he finally scores 30-plus goals.
Right now. This is from Drew Way. I'm not happy with this. He wants to say, let's have some fun with Ryan pronouncing prospect names again, shall we?
He sent me the actual pronunciations, too. I need to pull them up.
Okay. Ryan, please pronounce the following player names, all whom are top 50 prospects or so in the 2022 NHL draft. This is called, Drew really does mean things to me. Here we go. Ivan Miroshnichenko?
He told me, first of all, it's Ivan.
Okay.
And then it's Miroshnichenko.
Cool. Draj Slavkovsky?
All right, so we have your eye, Slavkovsky.
I was close. Oh, Jonathan?
Not on the first name there, buddy.
Lekker Maki? Maka?
Jonathan Lake Ear E Maki. Lake Ear E Maki.
Ilya Kuchko?
Ilya Kuchko.
Kuchko. And Devin Kaplan. Nailed that one.
You nailed that one. I have a cousin in the league.
Right. Our friend George added two more. Kenta. Oh, no, I'm not saying that. And Matechuk? I don't know. All right, cool.
Those I don't know. I don't have the pronunciations in front of me.
Very fun. This is from Jacob. If the Rangers go after a center, is there anyone but Hurdle? And he would he be the only one available? They're going to look everywhere. I think Dylan Larkin's somewhere they're going to check in on, but Dylan Larkin's not going to happen.
Step one, it has to be from a team that's going to be out of it, right? And yep. I know everybody likes saying Hurdle, but the Sharks are playing better than a lot of people thought they would. Now, will they fall out of the race? Will they plummet down the standings? It's totally possible. But you always have to remember that you're trying to get players from teams that are definitely selling. And I just – like, the Canadiens don't have a center that I want. They also don't have a winger, really, that I want. I know people have said Toffoli recently – I'll do it right now. I should have done this while we were talking to Tom because he was talking cap friendly up, and it's what made me think about it. I thought even the night he sucker punched Goodrow, that I was like, you know, Brendan Gallagher might be interesting. So just totally forgetting that he just signed a massive extension that nobody wants any part of. Like Toffoli signed for two more years after this at 4.2. So you're essentially saying, trade for Toffoli, don't extend Ryan Strome, don't worry about bringing in another center. I'm not sure I really want that kind of commitment. Like, the one thing that Hurdle has that nobody else has is not only is he really good, he's a free agent at the end of the year, so I can worry about signing him or not signing him at the end of the year. I don't think the Rangers are in a position where they can acquire someone with term on their contract unless they are moving someone with term on their contract. And I don't think you're going to be able to do that as a deadline deal this year. That's another big part of the reason why I know I am, and I think you are, so hot to trot for Phil Kessel. He's a free agent that you don't have to worry about signing. He's not a guy you have to latch your wagon to for 3-4 years.
Yeah, it's just one and done. Like, let's see if we can make this run. If he's garbage, he's garbage. That's just what it is. I'm totally fine with it. If you can get him for super cheap, I'm interested. And I think you'll be able to.
Definition of a rental is Phil Kessel.
For sure. This is from Matty Jack. Two-part question. Based on our play against the Leafs, is it too soon to say we've turned a page and are playing or playing into the system? If yes, out of the next 8 games, how many wins at a bare minimum do we need to continue to feel good about this team? That's a good question. I'm going to look at the schedule. So I know the next 3.
Are we going to Mike and Mad Dog this?
We are. Yes, that's as is tradition. I have it right now. I know the next 3 are Islanders, Bruins, Islanders. I would say that with the way the Islanders are playing right now and with the COVID situation they're dealing with, you should probably win both the Islander games. Now, the Islanders...
Francesa.
Yeah, that's Francesa.
Mike, I'm telling you, you gotta get 4 of 6 in those 3 games. I'm telling you, anything less than 4, Unbelievable. Can't be done. Can't be done.
Yeah, that's that was good. I actually like that. So I agree with you. Then we go to the next five in a row, which are not really like a great stretch. It's the Flyers at home in MSG. It's actually three games at home in MSG. So it's Flyers, Sharks, Blackhawks. Again, I think you got to get 4 of 6 there. And then Blackhawks, Avs. And the Avs are also...
Mike, I gotta tell you, I think you're putting the bar too low. That's one where you got to get 5. You want to be a contender in this metropolitan? You need 5 or 6. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right. That's where we're at. Listen. You could beat the Islanders twice. You could beat the Blackhawks twice. Probably like 2 losses in the next 8 games. I think if the Rangers win 6 of their next 8, we have a lot of good to talk about.
I mean, no storyline intrigues me more, and I don't think we're ever going to get there. But at least now we're at a position where the chance is not zero. Just saying, if the Islanders feel like they have to blow it up, I think that's awfully interesting.
It is interesting. I hope we'll see. I thought about that today too, but I didn't want to bring it up. I was like, it might be time. All right, this is from Bronx Harlem Hockey. How do you fire the commissioner of the NHL? And will Bettman ever get to the axe? Or what do you think it would take to fire Bettman? I'm not sure you can get there. I mean, did you see what we just lived through with the Blackhawks?
Yeah, I think everybody needs to understand that the commissioner works at the honor of the owners in the NHL.
And
do I have anything to believe the owners think Gary Bettman's doing a bad job?
I do not.
I don't. Neither do I.
Unfortunately, I thought we'll see. There's no fallout from the Blackhawks thing. They've just had their punishment.
They got fined $2 million.
What a fucking joke. All right, this is from David. Now that Tampa Bay has over 25% of their cap in long-term IR, which players do they acquire to break the playoffs again?
Boy.
Well,
let's go to that Vancouver Canucks roster.
Yeah, is Kucherov done for the season? No, right?
No, he'll be, I mean.
He'll be back
in
the playoffs.
Is he done for the season, Ryan? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who on the Canucks shouldn't get traded that probably will get traded at no cost? Because he's owed too much money. Yeah, Connor Garland seems like a guy the Lightning will eat right up.
Yeah, that does seem like a pretty good player. I do not like that. Let's get to the next one. This is from Jess Gypsy. Does Georgiev play another game for the Rangers in 2021 this season? Yes, he does. This is from Gretzky. Gareth McFly, new supporter. Thanks for joining us. Is New York Ranger hockey alive and well? It hasn't been this good in 5 years, period.
It's definitely entertaining and exciting. Right.
As compared to 3 weeks ago, last year, if you were following the team, the days of our lives, the New York Rangers were incredible. There was a story every week. The dictator from another country came and took our star player. There was locker room fights. There was turnovers. There was turmoil. But as terms of like a hockey, like the on the ice product, it hasn't been better in 5 years. I don't think it's close. All right. This is from Ed Carco. Should the Rangers give up whatever it takes to trade for Tarasenko, and what would be an acceptable package for him? We talked about this earlier, but I do not believe the St. Louis Blues would be trading Tarasenko. I don't know what an acceptable package for Tarasenko would be at this point. I'd assume you'd have to include someone like Jones.
Oh, I also assume the Blues know they have to eat some of that money, but I just can't stress this enough. Why the St. Louis Blues at 9-6-2 through 17 games and in third place in a very winnable Western Conference with the Avalanche struggling to start the year, why are they selling players off if they expect to make the playoffs?
Grateful Sparks asks, what do you think about trading back for JT Miller? The Canucks seem to be falling apart, and if they decide to sell, he only has 2 years left in his current deal. Like, don't hate it.
Happening.
I don't hate it, but I don't see it happening. We know that.
It's not happening. I think the Rangers
like JT Miller.
Right. They were very – I don't know if they were eager – they weren't upset that the Lightning asked for him in the trade.
They were happy to give him.
I think it's one of those situations where, sure, the Rangers would have liked to get more than what they got for Miller, which was essentially Nemestikov straight up. But I think the New York Rangers were very much out on the JT Miller business. They were done. They were very tired.
Agreed. Final question, and this leads into the final topic that you want to discuss, Greg. This is Chris from Florida. Time for Mets question for the number one Mets and Rangers podcast, with the Mets having a new GM and Steve Cohen saying the GM will have as much money as they need regardless of the luxury tax. What do you think the Mets should do with the infinite money this offseason?
Well, I mean, Baez and Stroman have always been 1 and 2. They're even more 1 and 2 now with Syndergaard gone. I got to tell you, the people freaking out about Aaron Loop, I can't help you, I think you're
let me do this one because you said it earlier. You did your rant. The Rays lose their star relievers, two teams, four prospects, and valuable assets every single year. Then they fire a guy that throws at an arm angle that you've never heard of from the middle of nowhere, and he will have an under two ERA and like 25 saves. You can find those guys, like Greg said earlier. The Rays do it every year. You do not have to worry about losing Lupus Array. He was Array.
Right, the Rays let him go. The Mets signed him for $1 million. He produced one of the most magical and great reliever seasons of all time that he will never replicate again. And then some team came in and offered him $8.5 million per year. Cool? This is the same thing with Barclay Goodrow. Don't play Barclay Goodrow. Pay the guy you think might become the next Barclay Goodrow for literally 10% of the cost. They paid Loop less than $2 million. I hope they sign six relievers for the $8.5 million that Loop got, and I hope one of them is as good as Loop. And then, you know what? That's good fucking business. Don't pay relievers. That's just – it's bad business. It's what lets you trade Jared Kelnick for Edwin Diaz. Stop paying for relievers. Just build your own. You can do it. I believe you. Every other organization does it. The Mets are supposed to be turning over this new leaf. Build your own relievers. It's not the end of the world. The Syndergaard one, I absolutely would have loved for him to stay. I was under the impression he was going to sign the qualifying offer. I'm sure the Mets were under the impression he was going to sign the qualifying offer. If the Angels want to give him $25 million or whatever they gave him, $21 million for 1 year, for him to then go back out in free agency after he proves himself that he's healthy, okay? Like, I know what he's done. I know it's been 2 years since he's done it. I think he's very capable of doing it again. But even if he came back to the Mets on an $18.5 million contract, they'd still need to sign Stroman and one other bona fide starting pitcher because you have just no idea what the fuck you're going to get with Syndergaard. I don't think either of those players leaving drastically derails the Mets offseason. Baez is priority number one for me. I'd say Stroman is priority number two. I dislike that they say they're going to try not to trade because that means my dream of Matt Chapman being a New York Met sure doesn't feel Chris realistic. Bryant.
That's kind of where I'm leaning.
I don't know if it's just like people who cover the Mets that I trust are hot to trot for this Suzuki guy out of Japan, or if the Mets themselves are hot to trot. I have a lot of Kaz Matsui memories, so I think I'd just rather be wrong about every guy, star player coming over from Japan and expecting him to have a major impact in the U.S. I don't feel great about that. I'm talking myself into Starling Marte on a short-term deal. Ryan, you want to talk about the emergency podcast of your dreams that you definitely don't want to do, but at the same time you do want to do.
Okay.
If the Mets sign Max Scherzer, I am podcasting naked.
Yeah, well, that's not happening. There's no way.
I don't think so, but I'm just saying. I need to verbalize it so you understand.
Max is one of the most fun people to root for in any sport. Like, period.
Can you just imagine a rotation with the silent assassin Jacob deGrom and Mad Max?
That's enough. You just need one more guy, and then you can get there. That's all you need.
Yeah, and if the other guy's Stroman, so the Mets rotation would be deGrom, Scherzer, Stroman, guy, Walker, guy. And whoever the fuck pitches fifth.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, doesn't matter. I'm with you. I think you guys go for Bryant. I think you guys re-sign Baez.
I don't know if they go up for Bryant. I think
Bryant
Baez
goes back to San Francisco.
I don't know where Bryant goes, honestly. It doesn't sound like San Francisco really wants him back.
Does not seem that way. Their priority is pitching, as you can see from today, of signing everybody back.
Yeah, and they really want Alex Cobb. I think
I love Alex Cobb.
Cobb is getting is very curious.
I really love Alex Cobb, but really wanting Alex Cobb and it's 2021 is a bad idea. Alex Cobb in 2017 was sick. Not anymore.
I'm not anti analytics. Very famously, I'm pro analytics. But you're doing a lot of work to tell me like Alex Cobb had the third lowest hard rate contact in Major League Baseball and had the worst team defense behind him, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but
Alex Cobb guy, big time.
Yeah, I don't put a lot of faith in pitchers that pitch to contact. Even Stroman is about as far as I would go. I get that Stroman's a ground ball pitcher that very, very clearly, because every single one of his pitches has depth and sink on it, needs a good team defense behind him, which, again, if you're going to sign Baez, sign Stroman, that infield's perfect for him. I need to figure out what the Mets are going to do at third base, but I'll get there. But, like, Alex Cobb, that man's injured a lot. Oh, like a lot.
A lot is an understatement there, Gregory. That's been enough of this conversation because I have to go to bed. But this has been a good podcast. I'm going to go thank our Patreon subscribers. You can go follow us on Twitter at O'Reilly. You can follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. We'll be back Wednesday night after the Islander game. We're doing a BSBOT for our Patreon. If you want to hear that, you know where to sign up. Patreon.com/Blue Shirts Breakaway. We love you guys. Bye. And this podcast, as always, is brought to you by our NHL Insiders Club, the coolest exclusive club on the earth. I think by me saying the coolest exclusive club, I think I made it pretty, like, not cool at the same time. But everyone who's in it knows it's cool, okay? It's cool. It's definitely cool. I want to thank Adam Cassidy, Adam Cohen, Adam... Oh, man, I got it right last week. Curtolo? Damn it. I didn't look beforehand. Here we go. Here it is. Nope, I'm not going to... Curtolo, I'm going to get it next week. Adam Ketch, Alex Gardner, Elmer Cohensberger, Austin Biedelman, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Biggies Malone, Brian Doyle, Broadway Busher, Bleeder, Chris Finelli, CJ Stellwagen, Dennis Dazen. Why'd I call him Dennis again? Daniel Dazen. I don't know what it is. My brain. It's a messed up, dark, sick place. Daniel Dazen. David Naren and David Siegel. Dennis Deitz. Eric Stagg. George Obrinski. Give Gartner a cup. Gretzky. Gareth McFly. Welcome. Harrison Hasco. Jake Berkowitz. Jerry Marquez. JD. Jimmy Mack. John Hardesty. Chris in Florida. Christoph Berg. Kyle Franklin. Lazek Gronkowski. Which I say your name wrong, apparently. I found out last week. Luci Ortano, Lucas K, Matthew Kahn, the legend, Max Nielsen, Pavel Kovarev, Randy Tesser, Stephen Lomayer, Stig Bubak from also Swinegart, the drop BK, Tommy Sinclair, Tommy O'Neill, Tori from Manhattan, Upstate Vin, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, and Will Spector. Cannot thank you all enough for making Blue Shirt Breakaway happen every single week, along with the rest of our Patreon subscribers. Thank you, too. A little bit of a, not a rant, but sort of a thought I've been having. Alexi Lafreniere, as recent as 2 weeks ago, has had a lot of, is he going to get sent to the AHL conversation? I don't think that is going to happen. I think if I asked Greg this question on the show, he would simply say no and let's move on, which is why I'm doing it as a monologue here. Vince Mercogliano has said over and over again that he's not getting sent down. The points will come. The analytics say behind his play that he's seriously been driving play. His defense has not been there, but you can see certain plays where he's starting to turn it a little bit. Are there concerns? Yeah, of course there are. But if Filippito is going to keep playing like this, I can't see a reason why Lafreniere shouldn't be playing with him on a nightly basis. It's unfathomable, to be honest. There was one hit, I believe, it was in the on the boards on the corner where Lafreniere just absolutely wrecked a guy. You could see he was like totally gassed, and he's going the extra mile. I think Gallant, especially what the results we've had with Kako over the past 2 weeks, Gallant isn't really going to be keen on flipping the lines that much. He's really stuck with Kako. I think if Lafreniere and Hedl can find something special, and it seems like they have so far, maybe Lafreniere turns a corner. I know the talent, the number one talent overall, hasn't been there just yet, but you have to still look at this as kind of like a rookie season for him, and there's still plenty of time for him to become this star. I think he has it in him. There are moments where I'm like, where is this on-the-ice product that is these amazing passes and the setup, the hockey IQ? But overall, I think you have a lot to be promised about for Alexi Lafreniere over the next couple weeks. Because this was Kako's week, no doubt about it. Two stars of the game, a tremendous player that has been awoken by whatever is happening on that line with him and him, Panarin, and Strome. But I think you're going to see something with Lafreniere these next few weeks, especially if this Hedl, Gauthier, and Lafreniere line stick together. On that note, we'll be back later this week. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkeys. Enjoy your mashed potatoes. Enjoy all the best items, including stuffing, at Thanksgiving. We love you. And we'll be back later for BSB OT after the Islanders game. If you want to find that, you know where to get it. Patreon.com. Love you guys. Bye.